Okay, I was asked a couple of days ago by Rabbi Lavenda, who runs our Rabbinic Alumni Rabbanan website, to submit a drasha, because the person who normally submits Chomer LeDrush is in Eretz Yisrael right now, didn't have time. So he's like, can you just pull something off a file and send me a drasha? So I don't know if I'm supposed to share it with you now also, because it could be like your rabbi is going to say it in shul, and then you'll be like, oh, I know that. You totally ripped that off of Rabbanan. But I'm going to do it anyway. I don't know. What are they going to do? All right. I don't know. We'll just leave it at that. The phrase im lovan garti brings about one of the most catchy and well-known ma'amari chazal that we have. And that is im lovan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. Right? It even rhymes. Right? Love garti, taryag. It's beautiful. It has such a symmetry to it. V'lo lamadti ma'asav haraim. And I didn't learn anything from lovan's evil ways. So it's a little bit strange for Yaakov Avinu to say something like that. Taryag mitzvahs shamarti. You open up a sefer mitzvahs. Start reading through the list of all the mitzvahs. And how many of them is it even shaykh that Yaakov Avinu did, right? Did he do the mitzvos that are incumbent upon the melech? Did he do the avodah of Yom HaKippurim? Did he do it? It's not possible that he did taryag mitzvos, meaning it's an inaccurate description. But Yaakov is supposed to be an ish emes, titen emes Yaakov, and he's saying something that's not really true. So it's also not only inaccurate, it's also redundant. Taryag mitzvos shavarti, that I observed all the mitzvos, which, by the way, Taryag includes all the los haseis as well. So, of course, all the matim ma'asav haraim. Most of the ma'asav haraim are los haseis, I would imagine. The stealing, the cheating, the lying, all that, right? Meaning that's all the los haseis. So, obviously, if Taryag mitzvos shamarti, lo lamadim ma'asav haraim. Furthermore, Yaakov is trying to impress Esav somehow. Esav has seen tzaddikim before, right? Esav's not, you know, it's like when you have a bas talmid chacham, and she's dating. She could sniff out in a second, like if the guy's a faker. No, she knows what a Talmud Chacham looks like. She's seen it. She knows what, right? She grew up around it. So some guy may talk the good, talk the talk and whatever, but it doesn't walk the way. So he could pull the wool over, a lot of people's eyes. But someone who grew up with it, they know what it is. They know what the real deal is. They know what being a masmin and a Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik looks like. They've seen it. So you're going to impress Esav, Taryag mitzvos shamarti, v'lo lamadti ma'asav haraim? He'll be like, shkoyach, like mom, like dad, like grandpa, grandma? Yeah, I got it. I have to say, why would that be something that's so impressive to him? And furthermore, Chazal tells us, vayira Yaakov ma'od, that Yaakov was very afraid. Why? Because Esav had a couple of zechuyos. He had Kibbutz Aveim and he had Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov didn't have the zechuyos of those two mitzvos. So he was very, very afraid. So can you imagine if there was some sort of a spiritual contest between Rav Moshe Feinstein, who lived in the Lower East Side, not in Eretz Yisrael, who let's imagine that his parents died when I don't know how old he was when his parents died, but he certainly didn't live with them for most of his adult life, versus let's say some kibbutznik somewhere on an atheist kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael who lives next door to his parents because that's the kibbutz that he grew up on and he just never left, right? Spiritual competition. Who's greater? You think Rav Moshe is going to be like quaking in his boots, like oh no, this guy is so much greater than me because he has the zechus of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and because he has the zechus of Kibbutz Aveim? Come on, Yaakov, and as great as Rav Moshe was, and his greatness is beyond our comprehension, Yaakov Avinu was much greater. And as bad as whatever the atheist kibbutznik might be, Esav was probably way worse, right? These are all-time tzaddikim and villains, right? So, and Yaakov is afraid. He's afraid of those zechuyos. Why would you be afraid of those zechuyos? So I think the yesod is that the idea of observing taryag mitzvos is an impossibility. We all know that that's impossible. There is no single person that can keep all 613 mitzvos because there are some mitzvos that only apply to men and some mitzvos that only apply to women. You can't be both. There are some, you can't. There are some mitzvos that only apply to a king, some mitzvos that only apply when you're not a king. There are some mitzvos that only apply to Kohanim, some mitzvos that only apply when you're not a Kohanim. So it's just not possible. You're never going to be able to do all 613 mitzvos. But we need to have an access point for all 613 mitzvos. Chazal give us guidance how to do that without actually observing the mitzvah, but to at least have an access point where we have some shaychus to the mitzvah. And that there are three ways to develop such an access point. The first two are illustrated in a comment of one of the commentaries on the Ein Yaakov, in the famous Gemara in Shabbos Taf Lamed Aleph, of the Ger who wanted to be taught Kala Tarukula al Regalachas. So Shammai, of course, threw him out, Bamas Abinyan or whatever, and Hillel gave him the following famous advice: Madalochsni lechavrchel osavid, idach pirusha zil gemor. So whatever you don't like, don't do to your friend. The rest is commentary. Go and learn it. So one of the commentaries in the Ein Yaakov explains that the Ger was asking, I don't understand. I'm going to convert to Judaism. You're going to tell me I'm chayv in Taryag Mitzvos. Why tell me I'm chayv in Taryag Mitzvos? I can't do Taryag Mitzvos. How am I ever going to be able to connect to Taryag Mitzvos? He has a tremendous handicap in trying to keep Taryag Mitzvos. He doesn't have Taryag Mitzvos to do. So the advice was twofold. You want an access point to Taryag Mitzvos. First of all, madalach sni lechaver chalos avid. That connect with other Jews, because there are certain mitzvahs that you can't do, but other Jewish people can. You're not a Kohen, your friend is a Kohen. Right? You're a man, not a woman, somebody else is a woman. You're not, right? I mean, there are other people that will have an access, that are able to be Mekayim, those mitzvahs. And when you develop a relationship with those people, when you love those people, when you care for those people, you can connect to the mitzvahs. You can tap into the mitzvahs that they're doing as well. Second of all, idach perusha zil gemar. To achieve the rest of the mitzvahs, a second strategy is zil gemar. Learn about the mitzvahs. We have a principle of the neshabu parmes faseinu. We can't bring karbanos anymore. So Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu long ago that you can't bring karbanos, but don't worry. Neshabu parmes faseinu, you can learn about karbanos. You can say the parshios of the karbanos, and you'll be mekayim it that way. When we learn the dinim of kachim, we're mekayim the mitzvahs of kachim. When we learn the dinim of things that we're not able to actually do, so we're mekayim those mitzvahs. So if it becomes a living Torah, you speak to people who are doing Daf Yomi right now, that are like, it's really hard. Zvachim is really, really hard. But if a person could learn to love, to appreciate that these are mitzvahs that I'll never be able to do, even after being an abayis, I'm not a kohen. But this is an access point for me. So it's worth the effort, because it's like the only way I'll ever be able to access these mitzvahs. I remember when I used to learn with Rabbi Rasner Shlita. Son Michal just was starting his army service yesterday. Hashem should protect him. But when I used to learn with him, when we learned kachim, that was like you couldn't do any, like if you wanted to give him a birthday present, you'd give him a Gemara Zvachim and just say, here, take an hour, enjoy. It was like the most exciting thing in the world. Like there was nothing that you could do that was more exciting to him. I was just like, okay, it's Daf Yomi, you can't skip Kachim. Like, what are you going to do? You gotta finish that. But he was like so excited about it. And part of that excitement is that this is it's an entrance way into mitzvahs that we otherwise don't have access to. And then there's a third way of gaining access to the mitzvahs, not only by connecting with others who do that, not only by learning about it, but by enabling people to do mitzvahs. When a person supports the yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael, you're getting a kind of partial kiyuma mitzvah of yeshuv Eretz Yisrael. When I once had a shaila, a guy in my shul came over to me. He was 30 years old at the time, and he had his tefillin checked. And he was very good about getting his tefillin checked fairly consistently since his bar mitzvah. And he was always told they're beautiful, they're fine. At the age of 30, the sofer said, there's a letter missing. He brought it to a new sofer he had never brought it to before. Like, letter missing doesn't mean it just got erased. It was missing. It was never there. So he discovered at the age of 30 that from the age of 13 to the age of 30, he was never mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin in his life. And he was devastated. He was the kind of guy that was careful to check him all the time. He brought them to a sofer who was a very nice fellow, wasn't so good at concentrating, right? And kept missing the fact that there was a missing letter there. Terrible, right? Rabbi Mendelwitz told me that, I think he's the one that told me that someone came to Rav Eliashiv with a similar story, devastated. I'm 35 years old, whatever. And I know he just, so Rav Eliashiv said, it's so interesting because there was an 85-year-old guy that was just here about an hour ago, and he came so excited that now he'll, that he's so happy that he discovered this because now he'll be able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Tefillin before he dies. So it's all attitude, all perspective. But I remember when I had that, when someone asked me, so I sent a Shaila to Rav Zilberstein, I think, to ask him, like, how do you do tshuva for such a thing? And he sent me something he had written in one of his svarim. I was just actually, I'm getting a new desk at home, so I had to clean out my desk. It's so much work, but also a lot of fun to clean out and, you know, see what you find. I found a whole bunch of letters. I used to write to Rav Zilberstein all the time, and he always wrote me back. So I found a whole bunch of letters from Rav Zilberstein. So anyway, so Rav Zilberstein said, "She'im tiska lishachnea v'lu Yehudi echad la'niach tefillin hare yesh sikiyum shebemeshach hashanim abaus hu yikayim b'schuscha es ha-mitzvah alfei pa'amim." He says, if you manage to convince someone who would not otherwise put on tefillin to put on tefillin, or someone who cannot afford a pair of tefillin, you buy them a pair of tefillin, then think about all the mitzvahs of tefillin you're going to be getting. Meaning you missed those mitzvahs all these years. You'll make up for it with all these mitzvahs of tefillin. To get people who otherwise wouldn't do a mitzvah to do one, it's an incredible zechus. So that's an unbelievable thing. Last year I was on, I think it was Dr. Brown got me to participate in, or invited me to participate in a panel discussion with the chief rabbi of South Africa. I think it was me, Dr. Brown, and the chief rabbi of South Africa. I'm not sure, you know, a lot of times I find myself in these things like, what am I doing here? You know, like, what exactly am I bringing to the table over here? But it was a learning, they're all learning experiences. I get to learn from smart people and really good people. So Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein, he's the one that founded the Shabbos Project, right? The Shabbos Project was wildly successful. Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people observed Shabbos for the first time through the Shabbos Project, or participated in Shabbos for the first time through the Shabbos Project. And he said that he asked his wife before the first time he launched it, "Am I being crazy? Is this going to be like a total flop? Is this like going nowhere? Is anybody going to participate?" And his wife said to him, "Even if we fail, at least we will have failed doing something noble." It's an amazing attitude to have. You know, I may fail, but at least I'll fail trying to do something great. You know, not bad to live by such words. I think I mentioned once in the Sichas Musar, you know, like, I sometimes think to myself, I know it's a morbid thought, but like, you know, if I drop dead right now, so like, what are they going to say? They'll be like, "Oh, he dropped dead doing what he loved most, saying shir, giving a parsha shir." You know, like, do I want to be, you know, drop dead and they're gonna pull the phone out of my cold hands and find a hilarious meme that I was, you know, that I was looking at and say, like, that's what you want to be? Like, it's not a bad thing. You know, if you fail doing something very very noble. But this basic yisod, that there are access points, even to mitzvahs that you're not able to do, those three particular access points answers the questions that we began with. The term shamarti is very different than kiyamti. Of course it would be sheker to say tarig mitzvahs kiyamti. You can't be mekayim tarig mitzvahs. He would never have claimed that. Many of them are circumstantial. Many of them don't relate to him at all. But in next week's parsha, we learn that the root shamar can mean something else entirely. Va'aviv shamaris hadavar, which Rashi says, hayamamtinu mitzape masayavo. That Yaakov yearned for the mitzvos. He was making a value statement that I haven't fulfilled all the mitzvos, but I want a piece of all of them. I yearn for the mitzvos. I try to connect to the mitzvos, even the ones that I'm not doing. He wasn't trying to impress Esav with his tzidkos. Esav has seen tzaddikim. It was an olive branch. It was a declaration of peaceful intentions. I want a piece of all of the mitzvos. And there are two specific mitzvos that you've done, but I haven't. And therefore, even though you're Esav and I'm Yaakov, I kind of need you. So it would be wonderful if I could connect with you in some way. because you've performed these mitzvos. He wasn't nervous that Esav had quantitatively more mitzvos or qualitatively more zuchiyos than him. He wanted every single mitzvah, oiv mitzvos l'yispa mitzvos. So he told Esav, I need to be at peace with you and have no desire to fight you. In fact, the only way for me to realize my own life's dream is by connecting to Taryag mitzvos. So it's an important mussar in general about our appreciation of other Jews, and our forget about our appreciation just from an admiration perspective, but even just our basic need, our need for other people who are doing things that we can't do, who are doing things that we're not ready to do or that we haven't done yet. So it's on all three levels. There has to be a sense of wanting to learn about all the mitzvot HaTorah, that is on some level of fulfillment. There has to be some desire to connect with Jews who fulfill all the variety of mitzvot of the Torah, and whenever possible, to try to support those who are doing mitzvot, even if it's a mitzvah that we can't do. That's why every time you hear a story about some tzaddik who was in jail, it was always the same story. You know, we think of like, why were they always in jail back in the day? It's because it was illegal to send money to Israel. And so anytime, but they were always sending money to Israel because they always wanted a kiyum of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So they're always sending money to Israel. And anytime someone got angry at the rabbi, you know, the Bala Tanya or whoever it was, whoever the rabbi was, they would just tell the master to the government that he was sending money to Israel, and it was true. So they were arrested and they were thrown in jail. But that's always been our Misora, that we support those who are doing things that that we ourselves are unable or unwilling to do. Okay. Good job.